This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And when my servants ask you concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me and believe in me that they may be rightly guided. Allah Azza wa Jal, our Lord, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the worlds, Allah Azza wa Jal, our Creator, He hears us and He responds to us. When we call upon Him, He answers. We learn in a hadith that when a person prays Salah and in Salah they recite Suratul Fatiha and they say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. Ujibu, He responds. He says Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. When the slave says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He responds, He answers, He says Athna alayya abdi, my slave has praised me. When the person says Maliki yawm al-Din, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, He answers, He says Majjadani abdi, my slave has glorified me. When the person says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, He answers, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ, that this is between me and my slave will have what he asked for. And when the person says, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. He says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ, this is for my slave and my slave will have what he asked for. You see, dua is that a person calls upon his Lord. For what? For relief, for guidance, for aid, for fulfillment of any need or wish. And this call is not just a call for help, but it is an act of worship, a great act of worship that is very honorable in the sight of Allah. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. It is so important before Him that if a slave abandons dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with that person. And the foundation of this act of worship, this dua, is tawheed. It is belief in the oneness of Allah, belief in His absolute perfection, His power, His mercy, His knowledge. And so dua is something that draws a person near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it brings sincerity in the heart of the person. And the more a person begins to know Allah and draw near Him, the more he begins to call upon Allah. And he begins to ask Allah for every little and big thing. And he learns how to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions. And dua is something that detaches the slave from the creation, from depending on the creation. And it makes the slave depend on Allah alone. How? You see, when you make dua, you place your hope in Allah. And you know that Allah is able to do all things. He can say kun fayakun. He can say be and it will be. And so you feel confident, you feel hopeful, you place your trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 256, that فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. That whoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, the person who believes in Allah, then this person has grabbed onto a handhold that is very strong, very firm, and it has no crack at all. It will never break. And Allah hears, He knows. So as a person increases in their hope, their faith in Allah, then the stronger their worship becomes, the stronger their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then a person begins to find joy and comfort in ibadah, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is so amazing. A person begins dua. Why? In order to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. But then eventually that leads to such a strong connection with Allah. So the slave finds closeness to Allah more pleasing than the thing that he was praying for. Any dua, it brings you the fruit of dua. The real fruit of dua is not the thing that you were praying for, the thing that you were asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. The real fruit of dua is that you find closeness to Allah. You find joy in talking to Allah, in showing humility before Allah, in spending time remembering Him, glorifying Him, praising Him, doing things to earn His approval. That is the real fruit of dua, that it brings you closeness to Allah. You find Allah qareeb. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He hears, and He has the power to do whatever He wants, and He can give whatever He wants to His slaves. So when we are certain about this fact, then we will be more eager to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, through dua, when we call upon Allah, our troubles are taken away, our needs are fulfilled, and we receive numerous blessings. But typically what happens? People only call upon Allah when they're in some difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, ayah 67, وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. That when some harm reaches you at sea, meaning when you're traveling through water and there some storm hits or you feel some danger, then what happens? You forget everyone except Allah. You do not call upon anyone. The only one you call upon is Allah. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers you to land, He saves you, He rescues you. أَعْرَضْتُمْ. You turn away. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. And the human being is very ungrateful. So we should continue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, in times of difficulty and in times of ease. And the person who attains the real fruit of dua, the real benefit of dua, then they will continue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even when things are easy and even when they have received what they prayed for. They will not forget Allah because they found closeness to Allah by making dua to Him. And that brought them so much joy that they will continue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even when they don't have a problem or they're not experiencing any difficulty for which they need to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. They will still call Allah. They will still talk to Allah. So we should be of such people who continue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that there is no fixed time for dua, that you can only make dua at a certain time of day or at a certain time of night. No, you can call upon Allah at any time. There is no action, you know, a certain action required for making dua. For example, when it comes to praying salah, you have to stand in one place, you have to face the qibla, you have to make wudu, and you have to perform certain actions. Dua is something that you can do while sitting, while standing, while laying down, when you have wudu or when you don't have wudu, when you're in your bed clothes or you are dressed up for a wedding, or you are in your work clothes, you're working in the kitchen. No matter what state you are in, no matter what your condition is, no matter how you are feeling, no matter how busy you are or free you are, doesn't matter. You can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time, in any state. And there is no restriction even with regard to language. So you can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any language. And if you find it difficult to say words of dua, you can write it because some people feel that they are better able to express themselves when they write. So you can write your dua also. You can call upon Allah in any language. And you can know for sure that dua reaches Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here that wa idha sa'alaka ibadi anni fa inni qareeb. I am near, and the one who is near hears you. The one who is near cares about you. The one who is near is paying attention to you. In Surah Fatir, ayah 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ilayhi yas'adul kalimut tayyib. Good words ascend to him. And of the good words is the words of dua. So when you say words of dua, those words rise up to Allah. Allah hears them. And through dua, the gates of Jannah are opened up for the slave. And through dua, a person is protected from painful punishment. So we should continue to call upon Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, there are three forms of dua. First of all, there is dua in which the slave praises and glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declares the oneness of Allah. For example, you raise your hands and you say, Ya Allah, O Allah, La ilaha illa ant, there is no God but you. You say, Rabbana lakal hamd, our Lord, for you is all praise. So you just say words of glorification, words that declare the oneness of Allah, the perfection of Allah. You say such words. This is also dua. For example, on the day of Arafah, the best dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And in this dua, you are declaring the oneness of Allah. You are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not asking for anything. We learn Ayyub alayhi salam, when he was in difficulty, when he was experiencing illness for such a long time, he said, Anni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. That my Lord, harm has touched me and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. So in this dua, he didn't ask for anything. He just declared the perfection of Allah that you are the most merciful. That's it. We learn in Surah Ali Imran, some du'as are mentioned. Of those du'as is Rabbana innaka jami'un nasi liyawmin la rayba fihi, inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. That our Lord, indeed, you are going to gather people on a day about which there is no doubt. Meaning you're not asking for anything, but you say, Rabbana, our Lord. You're praising Allah, you're declaring His perfection. In distress, one of the best things we can say, the Prophet ﷺ taught is, Allahu, Allahu, Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. Allah, Allah, my Lord, I do not associate any partner with Him. So again, you're not asking for anything, but all of this is a form of dua, a form of calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you declare His oneness, you praise and glorify Him. Secondly, the second form of dua is dua in which the slave seeks forgiveness from Allah and asks Allah for His mercy. So specifically, you are asking Allah for mercy, you are asking Allah for forgiveness. So for example, you say, Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah, forgive me. Thirdly, is dua in which the slave asks for something, something of dunya, something of akhirah, something in deen, something big, something small, anything, whatever it may be. You are asking for something. For example, you say, Allahumma rzuqna, O Allah, provide us sustenance. This is a form of dua in which you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. So all of these three are forms of dua. Now, the prophets of Allah, they are the best example for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their stories in the Quran in order to teach us many lessons. And of those lessons is that we learn how to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, of the stories of the prophets in the Quran, within those stories is also a description of how they called upon Allah. The words of dua that they used, the kind of things that they prayed for, they're preserved in the Quran because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that this is how you should call upon Allah. The prophets, their example is to be emulated. So what was the way of the prophets of Allah? We learn in the hadith that كانوا إذا فزعوا فزعوا إلى الصلاة. That the way of the prophets was that whenever they were they experienced some worry, when some trouble reached them, they would pray. They would immediately attend to towards salah, meaning immediately they would turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you help us. This was the way of the prophets. And this is a habit that we also need to develop. That the moment something happens, the moment we feel anxious or worried or afraid, or we feel stressed out, we sense panic, we feel sad, we feel overwhelmed, immediately turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him for help. And if you don't even know what to ask for, because, for example, when you hear some news, for instance, someone has passed away, someone you love has passed away, or that, you know, that there is a major accident or something like that, we learn in the Quran that we should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That indeed we belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. This is also a form of dua, the first type of dua. And in this, we're not asking Allah for anything. We're not asking for anything specific. Rather, we are simply declaring the perfection of Allah, the fact that we belong to Him, the fact that we return to Him. So the way of the prophets was that in every difficulty, they would turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a habit that we should also develop. That the first words that come out of our mouths are words of dua, words in which we are reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the example of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Adam alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah, right at the beginning. And in that story, we learn about how when Adam alayhi salam made a mistake, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. That Adam alayhi salam received from his Lord some words, meaning he learned how to call upon Allah and how to seek forgiveness from Allah, how to repent to Allah. So what happened? Adam alayhi salam said those words, and Hawa also, both of them. And what are these words? They said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, you do not have mercy on us, we will surely be of the losers. And at times, we feel the same way, that we have really messed up. We have really made a huge mistake. Sometimes you have that realization soon after you have made a mistake. And sometimes you have that realization after months, after weeks, after years. The moment you realize you have messed up, you have done something wrong, turn to Allah. Don't just sit with that guilt. Don't let that guilt eat you up from inside. Rather, ask Allah, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What happened when Adam alayhi salam called upon Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. Subhanallah. Allah accepted the repentance of Adam alayhi salam. And you think about it. Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear to him that hadha aduwwun lak, that this shaitan is an enemy to you. Do not let him expel you from paradise. Fatashqa, because if you are expelled from paradise, from Jannah, then you will fail. You will be miserable. So Adam alayhi salam was clearly warned and he was clearly told, do not eat the fruit of this tree. Clear prohibition, clear warning against shaitan. But still, he was human and he forgot. And shaitan tricked him. And so he slipped and he made the mistake. But then he turned to Allah and he called upon Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance. Allah forgave him. This is the benefit of dua. This is the benefit. You see, when it comes to people, if they give us a clear warning, clear instruction, and then we mess up, then a lot of times we see no forgiveness, no mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. He is a tawwab. He is the one who accepts repentance over and over again. He is the one who accepts repentance from his slaves, even for sins which are huge, which are major. So turn to Allah, ask him for forgiveness. Now let's look at the example of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam had been calling his people for 950 years. And his people not only rejected him, they ridiculed him. And they called him Majnoon. They called him crazy. And they treated him very harshly. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ وَازْدُجِرٌ. So what did Nuh alayhi salam do in that condition, in that state, when he had been rejected and ridiculed and called names by his people, mocked at? What did he do? He called upon his Lord. And you see, sometimes it happens that we get bullied by people whom we should feel safe with. Our own friends, sometimes our own family members, they put us down. They call us crazy. They are very harsh with us. They drive us away. What did Nuh alayhi salam do in that condition? فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. He called upon his Lord that indeed I am defeated. فَانْتُصِرْ. فَانْتَصِرْ. So you help. You help me, Ya Rab. I am defeated. You help. Sometimes you also feel like that. Sometimes you feel defeated before your children, before people who are not listening to you, people who are not cooperating with you, people who are making your life very difficult. You don't know how to convince them. You don't know how to make them understand. So call upon your Lord, just as Nuh alayhi salam called upon Allah. What happened when Nuh alayhi salam called upon Allah? Allah tells us, وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. Nuh called us. So how excellent are we as those who respond? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We responded to him. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ. And we saved him and his family مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ, from the great distress. When you're feeling isolated, when people are ridiculing you, when people are bullying you, and this has been going on for a very long time, this is very, very distressful. You feel suffocated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that suffocation. مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ. So in a condition like that, call upon Allah. Let's look at the example of Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam also, he made a mistake where he got impatient with his people and he left them before he was told to leave them. And he was angry with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. And the Nun, when he went away angrily, and he thought that we would never create constriction for him, meaning he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. But then as he boarded the ship, and then he was thrown into the water, and he got swallowed by the fish, and he was in the darkness, What did he say? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no God but you. You are perfect, O Allah. Indeed, I am of those who do wrong. So what happened? Fastajabna lahu. Allah tells us, we responded to him. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. And we saved him from distress. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And that is how we save the believers. Sometimes it happens that you become hasty in responding to people, in dealing with people. You become impatient. And then you say things, you do things that are very damaging. And then there is regret. So, and in that regret, you feel like you are in darkness, that people are angry with you, and you worry that maybe Allah is also displeased with you. And you feel so sad, so worried, so guilty. Call upon Allah, even in that condition. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Look at Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam experienced illness, according to some narrations, for 18 years. Can you imagine if you are suffering from any illness for 18 hours even? That is hard. If you experience it for 18 days, that is hard. 18 months is hard. 18 years, that's like a lifetime. And he didn't just experience illness in his body. He also experienced loss of wealth, loss of his children, his family. And look at his dua. He called upon Allah. Anni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. That, oh my Lord, dur, harm has touched me, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. So we responded to him. فَكَشَفْنَا. So we removed. We took away. مَا بِهِ مِن ضُرٍ. Whatever harm that was with him, whatever difficulty he was experiencing in his body, in his family, in his wealth, whatever he was suffering was taken away. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. And we gave him his family and also along with them more. And his children increased. رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. And his wealth also doubled. All of this was mercy from us. وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And this is a reminder for the worshippers. For the worshippers, for those who make dua to Allah, that Allah hears, Allah responds. And Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him that inna wajadnahu sabira, ni'mal 'abdu innahu awwab. We found him to be patient. What an excellent worshipper he was. And he was awwab. He was someone who turned to Allah repeatedly. And this is how we should be. Because sometimes, you know, when we're in some kind of difficulty and the first day we make dua, things don't get better. The next day we make dua, the next week we make dua, and we see that the difficulty that we're experiencing is just going on and on and on. Sometimes we feel it's getting worse instead of getting better. And Shaitan says, see, your dua is not being answered. Don't ever think like that. Allah answers. To say that Allah does not answer, this is a false statement. This is a statement that contradicts the statement of Allah, because Allah says, ujibu, I answer, I respond. So we should not say ever that Allah does not answer, Allah does not respond, because Allah responds to his slaves, his worshippers. So Ayyub alayhi salam was patient throughout his ordeal. What an excellent worshipper he was, that he continued to call upon Allah. Innahu awwab. This means that he didn't just make dua once at the end of the 18 years. No, he continued to call upon Allah. He continued to make dua. And you know, like I said earlier, that the real fruit of dua is not what you were praying for, but it is the closeness to Allah that you experience, the comfort you experience in crying before Allah, the love that you feel in your heart for Allah. That is the real fruit of dua. And look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as la'awwahun halim. Awwah is someone who is very, you know, soft-hearted, someone who sighs a lot, basically, meaning someone who continues to call upon Allah and continues to humble himself before Allah. And this shows us that Ibrahim alayhi salam experienced great difficulty in his life. And in every difficulty, he called upon Allah. Look at how his own father treated him, his own people treated him, that they threw him into the fire. So what did he say at that time? He said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah, and what an excellent trustee he is. Anyhow, how excellent Allah is as someone to rely upon, someone whom you can depend upon. And what happened? Yes, he landed in the fire, but the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned it into coolness and safety for Ibrahim. It did not burn him. It did not cause him any pain. Rather, it became a means of safety for him. And it was not just his family who mistreated him. Look at what happened. His father actually said, "Leave or I will stone you to death." So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Inni dhahibun ila Rabbi sayahdeen." He said, "I am going to my Lord will guide me." And he made dua, "Rabbi habli min as-salihin." Oh my Lord, grant me children from those who are righteous. Meaning, grant me righteous children. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ So we gave him good news of a forbearing child, forbearing boy. Meaning, his son, Ismail alayhi salam, was a very forbearing son. And this is an excellent quality in children, that they are forbearing towards their parents. Meaning, they're not impulsive. They don't respond harshly. They don't get angry and annoyed. They don't disobey their parents. They are, kind towards their parents. They listen. And sometimes it happens that parents, they yell at their children. And sometimes the way that they yell is not really fair. It can come across as very harsh. But some children, they're so patient with their parents that they listen to everything. And they say, okay. They don't raise their eyebrows, they don't roll their eyes, they don't show any attitude, they don't answer back, they don't get angry, upset. No, they show so much hilm, so much tolerance, so much patience towards their parents. This is how Ismail alayhi salam was. And this is the reason why when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him that I have to slaughter you, he said, Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Oh, my father, do what you have been commanded. So obedient, so obedient. This is so amazing. Look at the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was so intolerant that he said, "You go. I don't want to see you. If I see you, I'm going to kill you." He was so intolerant, and Ibrahim alayhi salam made du'a to Allah, "Rabbi habli min as-salihin," and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such a righteous, obedient, patient child. Ghulamin Halim. So Allah answers du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears his slaves. And we see how Ibrahim alayhi salam was not just given one son, but also another one, Ishaq alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the du'as of Ibrahim, where Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahaba li 'ala al-kibri Isma'ila wa Ishaq. Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a. That all praise is for Allah who bestowed upon me in my old age Ismail and Ishaq. And this shows us that Ibrahim alayhi salam did not become a father at a young age. He became a father at a very old age. And so he, it's possible that he made du'a when he was younger, but his du'a, was fulfilled when? Many years later. And look at him, he's saying, Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a. Indeed, my Lord surely hears du'as. So, do we say this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we have been praying for something since 5 years, since 10 years, since 15 years, since 20 years, do we say, Inna Rabbi la sami'u du'a? Unfortunately, a lot of times people say things like, My du'a is not heard. Allah doesn't hear my du'a. Allah doesn't give me what I'm asking for. Astaghfirullah. We should not say these kind of things about Allah. Allah hears. Allah says that He answers. And He knows when to give you what you have prayed for. He knows whether he should give it to you or not, even. He knows better than you do because he created you and he wants the best for you. You see, parents, they know about their children, what they should give their children and what they should not give their children. You know, for example, sometimes children are very eager that their parents should get them a cell phone. For example, a child turns 13 years old, 14 years old. Some children, mashallah, even at the age of 10, they start asking, I want my own phone. I want my own cell phone. I want my own laptop. I want my own computer. I want my own iPad, etc. Do parents fulfill every wish? No, they don't. Why? Because they know that this is not the right time. It's not that they're saying that I will never get you a phone. I will never get you a computer. No, they will. But there is, but at a time that is better, when they know that their child will be able to use it properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than our parents know us, better than we know ourselves. So believe in the timing of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never late. His timing is perfect. So until you see the results of your dua, have faith. Inna Rabbi la sami'u dua. Indeed, my Lord is surely listener of du'as. He listens to du'as. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam so beautifully that he not only gave him righteous children, he made him the father of prophets. All of the prophets after him came from his progeny. Subhanallah. Look at the example of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam loved his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And look at what his children did. They threw Yusuf alayhi salam in a well and they lied to their father that a wolf ate him. And Yaqub alayhi salam's response was what? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. So beautiful patience is what I will observe. And Allah is the one whose help is sought. I will seek the help of Allah against what you are saying. And later on, he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I complain of my worry and my sadness to Allah. And in my grief, my sadness, I'm complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. And what happened? His dua was accepted. There came that day when the bearer of good news came. فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. Yaqub alayhi salam had become blind. He lost his eyesight because he wept so much for Yusuf alayhi salam. And he lost his eyesight probably because he was also very advanced in his age by that time, by the time that he found Yusuf alayhi salam. So the day came when the bearer of good news came to him and brought him the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as. Look at the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was in another difficulty where all of these women were coming at him and they wanted him to do evil. And what did he do? He asked Allah, رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يُدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. That, oh my Lord, the prison is more beloved to me. Put me in prison. Subhanallah. There are some people who are praying, get me out of prison. Yusuf alayhi salam was praying, get me into prison. Everyone has different needs. Everyone has different desires, different goals, different ways of thinking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give you the opposite of what He has given someone else. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only able to do one thing. He's able to do many different things. All things. He's able to give you what you are in need of. Look at Musa alayhi salam. When he accidentally killed the man and then the people were plotting to kill him and he had to flee Egypt, we learn that he reached Madian. And before he reached Madian, when he was going towards Madian, he said, "Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa as-sabil." I hope that my Lord will guide me to the right path. Subhanallah. He is fleeing as a refugee, basically, empty-handed, unprepared. And what does he do in that condition? He places his hope in Allah. He asks Allah for guidance. And then when he reaches Madian, imagine that condition. He's tired. He's afraid. He doesn't know where he's going to sleep, what he's going to eat, where he's going to be, what his future is going to be like. In that condition, when he sees that two women are struggling with their flock, he goes and helps them. Imagine if in a condition like that, someone asks us for water. What would we do? We would become so impatient, so angry, so irritated. Musa alayhi salam gets up and he goes and offers his help. And what happened then? He made dua. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh my Lord, I am faqir. I am in need of whatever good you can send down my way. I am in desperate need. I can take anything that you send my way. And what happened then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. He got not only a home, but a job, a wife, and security. So Allah hears du'as. And we need to call upon Him, no matter what condition we are in, no matter what our history is, no matter what kind of wrong things, no matter what kind of mistakes we have made. We are human. We are not perfect. You see, the hypocrites, we learn in the Quran that when they were called to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make dua for you. He will seek forgiveness for you from Allah. Lawwaw ru'usahum. They just shrugged, they just turned their heads away arrogantly and they said, no, we don't need to seek forgiveness. We don't need the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is arrogance. The Prophets of Allah were so humble. They admitted their errors, right? Their mistakes. Even though, you see, the mistake that Musa alayhi salam did where he accidentally killed a man, it was an accident. It was not intentional. It was a complete accident. But he realized that this was something wrong. And so he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much. And you see, Musa alayhi salam continued to call upon Allah at every stage. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him prophethood and he sent him to Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam prayed, رَبِّ اشْرُحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh my Lord, expand my chest for me. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. Make my task easy for me. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. Untie the knot in my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So that they understand what I'm saying. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. And appoint for me a helper from my family. هَارُونَ أَخِي. And he specified, Harun, my brother, I want him to help me. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. O Musa, you have been given what you asked for. So Harun alayhi salam was made a prophet, his helper. Both of them went to Fir'aun and together they invited Fir'aun to worship Allah and to set the Bani Israel free. Look at the example of Zakariya alayhi salam. He was old and he did not have any children. And he saw the condition of his nation, Bani Israel. And he realized that there wasn't anyone among them whom he could, have some hope in that, okay, this person will lead the Bani Israel. This person will command what is right, forbid what is wrong, etc. So he called upon Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّي لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. When he called out to his Lord that, O my Lord, do not leave me alone. Do not leave me childless. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And what happened? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We answered him. We responded to him. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. And we bestowed to him يَحْيَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a son, Yahya. وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجًا. And we reformed for him his wife, because his wife was barren before that. And now she became pregnant. She gave birth to Yahya alayhi salam. So sometimes it happens that maybe the fertility issues are really severe, that people basically tell you, you cannot have a child. it's not possible. You may be at the point of even losing your uterus or something like that. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do miracles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give you things through asbab, through means, and also without any means. Because inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. He is able to do all things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look at his example. How much he used to call upon Allah. How much he used to make dua. And if you look at the, any collection of prophetic prayers, how lengthy is that collection? There are du'as from, for all the 24 hours of the day. Think about it. When you wake up, there is a du'a. When you sit up and you are rubbing your eyes, right? Because we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would wake up for tahajjud, while sitting, he would recite the last 10 verses of Surah Ali Imran. And within those verses are many du'as. Then there is du'a for making wudu before entering the bathroom, when exiting the bathroom. And then salah is all du'a. After salah is du'a. Between sunnah and fard, there is du'a. Then there are adhkar in the morning, du'as in the morning. And then du'a for entering the market. SubhanAllah. Du'a for, after eating, after wearing clothes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are in the habit of calling upon Allah, then you will call upon Allah even in the most difficult circumstances, and even when you are in ease. Look at the difficulty the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced at the Battle of Badr. And we learn in a hadith that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the army of the enemy and he saw how many there were, he turned towards the Qibla, and then he extended out his hands, all right, and he began calling upon Allah. He said, Allahumma anjiz li ma wa'adtani. O Allah, accomplish for me what you have promised me. Allahumma ati ma wa'adtani. O Allah, give me what you have promised me. He continued to call upon Allah, and he did so for so long that his mantle, his upper garment, his shawl, it slipped down from his shoulders. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to him and he picked up his shawl and put it on his shoulders. And then he embraced him from behind and said, O Prophet of Allah, this prayer of yours to your Lord will suffice you, and he will fulfill for you what he has promised you. And what happened then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did fulfill his promise. He did answer his messenger. We learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. When you were beseeching your Lord, when you were desperately calling upon your Lord, you were asking him for aid, for relief, for help. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. He answered you, he responded to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is not just with the prophets that they called upon Allah in their difficulties, in their hardship, but even the righteous before, we see their example. They called upon Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them. There are so many stories like that. The story of, the three men who got trapped in the cave. Each one of them made dua to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered them to safety. We learn about that child who was calling people to Allah, and the king basically sent his men to kill that boy. He sent his men to take him to the top of a mountain and throw him down. And when they reached the top of the mountain, the boy said, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'ta. O Allah, suffice me against them with whatever that you want. Meaning, you help me against these people however that you want. And so there was an earthquake, and all of them fell except the boy. The king tried again, and he sent the boy with his men to the sea. And they told him that when you are in the middle of the water, then throw him off the boat, off the ship. And when they reached there again, The boy prayed, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'ta. Oh Allah, suffice me against them with whatever you want. And so there was a storm, all of them drowned except for the boy. Subhanallah. So no matter what difficulty you're in, call upon Allah. Look at Asiya. Fir'aun had, Allahu Akbar, Fir'aun had tied her up in such a way that on both of her hands and both of her feet, there were giant nails, like pegs basically, through which he had fastened her to the ground or whatever that he was torturing her on. So she could not sit up, she could not walk away, she could not run away. She was, and if she even tried to get up, imagine if there's something piercing through someone's hand, if they move a little bit, it's going to hurt even more. And she called upon Allah. She said, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her her home in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled her dua. Look at the example of Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the king basically captured her and he wanted to be intimate with her, for a woman, this is extremely hard. Sexual assault is traumatic. It can cause PTSD. It is a crime. It is a form of great violence against a woman. And Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the king captured her and he wanted to do this to her. And what did she do in that condition? She made dua to Allah. Allahumma in kuntu amantu bika wa bi rasulika wa ahsantu farji illa ala zawji fala tusallit alayya al kafir. That, oh Allah, if I've truly believed in you and in your messenger, and I have guarded my private part, do not let this disbeliever have power over me. And so what happened? That king, as he tried to approach her, he felt paralyzed basically. And Sarah was afraid now that people will think that I killed him. So the king got up and then again he tried to come to her. And again she prayed, and this happened multiple times. So he was not able to touch her. He was not able to harm her at all. She called upon Allah that, oh Allah, do not let this person, let this man have power over me. Do not let him harm me. Look at the example of Khawla radiallahu anha. Her husband said very abusive words to her. And those words were very damaging to their relationship, to their marriage. So she complained to Allah. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. She was complaining to Allah. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses that brought a solution to her problem. Subhanallah. We learn about this woman at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had some goats and she had a spinning wheel also. And she used the spinning wheel to make yarn and basically she would make her earnings through that. And at one occasion, she participated in a jihad, meaning she went along with the army in order to assist, do whatever was within her capacity. And when she returned, her goats were gone and her spinning wheel was also gone. So she called upon Allah that, oh Allah, you have guaranteed security for the one who goes out in your way. And I have lost one of my goats and my spinning wheel. So I beseech you regarding my goat and my spinning wheel. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to her. In hadith, we learned that the following morning, she got back her goat with another goat like it, and her spinning wheel with another one like it. Subhanallah. So you see, sometimes what you want, what you need may be very insignificant before someone else. Like if you find out someone is praying for a missing goat, and you would laugh, right? We would laugh that, oh, a goat, a spinning wheel. But it might not be significant to us, but it was something very important to her. So she called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered her. And you see, we can only call upon Allah When we know that dua is the strongest resource we have, the most effective way of helping ourselves, that we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how the Sahaba were. We learned that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, the Muslim empire basically expanded a great deal. And there was victory after victory, conquest after conquest. And Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever he would send an army, he would say to them that you are not given victory because of your great numbers. Rather, you receive help from up above. It is Allah who aids you, Allah who helps you. So this was his way of telling his soldiers that make dua, ask Allah for help. And Hassan al-Basri radiallahu anhu, once he mentioned the different types of people who recite the Quran. And one of them, he said that there is the one who recites the Quran, staying up in the night, and he remains thirsty in the day, and he controls his wishes because of the Quran. You know, he wants to eat, but he doesn't because he is spending time with the Quran. He wants to just lay down and relax, go somewhere, talk to his friends, chill out, but he doesn't do that because he's spending time reciting the Quran. So he controlled his wishes because of the Quran. And he sits on his knees, this person, and he remains in his place of worship, reciting Quran, calling upon Allah. And he said that it is because of such people that Allah keeps our enemies away from us. And it is because of such people that Allah sends rain on us. Subhanallah. That people who call upon Allah, because of their du'as, the entire community benefits. So we should be of those people who call upon Allah. And no matter what need we have, even if it's financial, we should call upon Allah. There's a beautiful story about Zubayr radiallahu anhu. You see, Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he was going to a battle. And he had a feeling that he would not be able to survive. So he called his son, Abdullah, and he told him that I'm afraid that I will not survive. So I have all of these debts. So make sure you pay them off. And he told him that sell my property and pay off all of my debts. And he said that if you're not able to pay off the debts by selling my property, meaning that there's still more to pay off, then seek help from my master. Seek help from my Mawla. And Mawla is basically someone who has set a slave free. All right. So Abdullah was startled. He said, who is your Mawla? Mam Mawlaka. And I didn't know you were a slave once upon a time. Who set you free? Who is your master? He said, Allah. Allah is my Mawla. Subhanallah. So Abdullah, he said, by Allah, whatever difficulty I experienced in paying off debt, that one or any other, I said, Ya Mawla Zubayr, iqdi anhu daynahu. O Mawla of Zubayr, pay off the debt of Zubayr. And he said that whenever I did that, the debt was paid off so easily. So this is how we should call upon Allah. That, Ya Allah, you are my Mawla, you are my guardian. You are my master. I need your help. You help me with this. You take care of this matter for me. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, when he would make dua, he would say, O you who loves the slave who asks you a lot. Meaning from all of your slaves, you love that slave who asks you a lot. This is how he would call upon Allah. And we learn that Some salaf, some people, some righteous of the past, they would make dua for every little thing. Even if they needed salt, they would make dua. Allahu Akbar. We think dua is just for big things, right? Big problems. That is when we make dua. No, even for the little things. You know, for example, you have an itch in your foot maybe, and you're not able to reach your foot because you're driving, okay? How are you supposed to scratch your foot while you're driving? You can't. And if that itch is there, You can't exactly drive easily, comfortably. So at that time also call upon Allah. Every little big thing, ask Allah. And teach your children, remind your family that they should also call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as, He accepts du'as in different ways. There are levels of acceptance. In a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly accepts du'as as long as the slave does not become hasty. And what is it to be hasty? It is that a person becomes impatient and he gives up making du'a. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. Our job is to keep asking, to continue to ask, and to not despair, and to trust the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to respond. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us exactly what we prayed for. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, fabashshirnahu bighulamin halim. He prayed for children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him children, good children. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something even better than what we prayed for. Allahu Akbar. You see, the wife of Imran, she, made dua that my child, I will dedicate my child to you, O my Lord. And she was hopeful that it would be a boy, but it happened to be a girl. So having a girl was much better for her than having a boy, because that girl was Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some hardship from us because of our dua. Protects us against some calamity because of our dua. In a hadith, we learn that when a person makes dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one of these things. What? Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him what he prayed for, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the reward for him in the hereafter, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some difficulty from him because of that dua. A difficulty that is in proportion to the dua, to the thing that he prayed for. So the Sahaba said, when they heard this, that then we will make a lot of dua, meaning we can ask for a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has even more. Allahu Akthar. Allah has even more. So don't think that you have exhausted the number of things that you can pray to Allah for. There's no limit. The genie, there's three wishes. That's it. And you cannot make the wish that I want more wishes. Of course, all of this is not true, but I'm just saying that these kind of things are embedded in our heads. These kind of things we are taught from the beginning, that you cannot ask for a lot. You only have three chances. You only have two chances. You only have five chances, and that's it. But with dua, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no limit. You can continue to ask Allah. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our dua a means of expiation for our sins. When we call upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins because of them, because of our dua. So we should call upon Allah. We should not be of those people who don't make dua, because such people are called الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, those who are too arrogant to worship Allah. You see, dua is worship because Allah commands us to call upon Him. It is obedience. And those people who don't call upon Allah, they are refusing, they're disobeying, they're showing arrogance. So not making dua is arrogance, and there's nothing worse than arrogance. And it's so crazy. How can a person be arrogant and proud before the one who created him, brought him into existence, and provides him and gave him life and will cause him death? So we learned that Imam Shukrani, in writing about this kind of arrogance, he says that pride is a form of insanity. It is a form of madness that a person is too arrogant to make dua to Allah. He says, no, I am not going to ask Allah. I am self-sufficient. I am not going to make dua because I don't want to be disappointed. I'm not going to make dua because God doesn't listen to me. This is pride, and this is a form of madness. How can you be proud before the one who made you, before the one who gave you the ability to breathe, who gave you your brain, who gave you the capacity to do what you're doing, and who can take everything away from you in an instant? How can you be arrogant toward the one who created everything, who owns everything? You have no escape from him. And pride is a form of ingratitude. So we should not be of such people who don't humble themselves before Allah, because this is a sign of the hardness of the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the weakest of all people is the one who is too weak to pray. And this is how defeated a person is, how weak, how miserable he is, that he is not even making dua. So make dua and do not despair. We learn in a hadith that of the major sins is that a person despairs of relief from Allah, and he gives up hope of Allah's mercy. This is of the major sins. And sometimes what happens is that people become too impatient, and you know, they're making dua, they're not seeing what they're praying for, and so they want a quick solution. They say, oh, dua takes too long, we want a quick solution. Just as if I have a headache, I put some painkiller in my mouth, I swallow a pill, headache is gone. I want a quick, immediate solution. So tell me what I can, you know, what grave I can go to, what string I can tie, what, you know, spell I can read, you know, something quick. And these are all forms of shirk, of associating partners with Allah. And this is foolishness upon foolishness. Because in Quran, we learn that the people who rely upon other deities, then they're like a spider which has made its home and its house, and the house of the spider, the web, is the weakest house. So similarly, those who call upon someone other than Allah are relying upon something that is extremely frail, very weak. It's not going to help. It's not going to work. We learn in the Quran that who could be more astray than the one who calls upon someone other than Allah, and someone who will not respond at all. And they don't even have any idea that they're being called upon. When a person calls upon someone other than Allah, for example, someone in a grave, they don't even hear you. They can't even talk. That's why they're under the ground, they're buried. How can they hear you? How can they help you? If they could help you, they would first help themselves. So don't make that mistake ever, that you become hasty and you want a quick solution, so you think about turning to someone other than Allah. No, continue to call upon Allah. And in these days of Ramadan, as you're fasting, continue to make dua. When you break your fast, make dua. In the night, make dua. After salah, make dua. Take advantage of these special times and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, in our next session, we're going to talk about the etiquette of dua, the external etiquette, the internal etiquettes, the best times, and also the best way of making dua, insha'Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله